This is KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
CBS News. President Ford leaves Bonn, West Germany in a few hours for Warsaw on the second leg of his 10-day European tour. I'm Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Sunday night at a state dinner on board a yacht on the Rhine River, the president toasted the importance of the Helsinki Summit Conference that begins Wednesday. West German President Walter Scheel backed up Mr. Ford, saying the meeting would show the unity of Europe and the United States and should help bring about détente. Leaders of 35 countries, including the Soviet Union, will sign a statement on principles for East-West cooperation while in Helsinki. The latest on the Apollo astronauts after this.
Give your cold fist to contact.
Summertime is a rotten time to catch a cold. You miss so much. Then remember, 6 or 3 or 1, and take contact. To keep medication working in your system up to 12 continuous hours against sneezing, runny nose, and congestion, you'd need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 cold pills, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact capsule. Just 1. For aches and fever, the others contain aspirin. Contact doesn't. 6 or 3 or 1. Take contact only as directed. Contact, number one cold medicine in the whole world.
The 3 Apollo astronauts will be in Hawaii for about another 2 weeks. Doctors say their conditions are improved, so they can probably be discharged from the Tripler Army Medical Center in Honolulu on Tuesday. But for the next 10 days, doctors want to observe the astronauts in semi-isolation. The doctors are worried about the men's reduced immunities to viruses and infections brought on by drugs they've been treated with. The astronauts breathed gas fumes inside their spaceship last week just before splashdown, and doctors are now examining 2 air purifier canisters from the ship to find out where the fumes came from. Gale warnings are in effect for parts of Maine as Hurricane Blanche moves northeast toward Nova Scotia. Forecasters at the National Hurricane Center say that Blanche may hit Nova Scotia by noon on Monday. Right now, the hurricane is about 250 miles southeast of Cape Cod, moving about 20 miles an hour and expected to pick up speed. State officials in Mississippi say they think they can bring an encephalitis epidemic under control with a mosquito spraying program that they began on Saturday. So far, 7 people, all of them elderly, have died from the disease that is carried by mosquitoes, and at least 62 other people have been hospitalized. Democratic Party officials in Los Angeles say they made about $4.7 million in a weekend telethon, about $1 million short of their goal. The first foreigners who were evacuated from Angola's capital of Luanda have arrived in London on board a British Royal Air Force plane. The 55 foreigners, including British, Americans, and West Europeans, were advised to leave Luanda after reports that 2 rival guerrilla groups were going to battle for control of the capital. Both groups want control of the city by November 11th, when Portugal officially gives independence to Angola. More in a minute.
Do you recognize the voice of this incisive CBS News interviewer?
The idea that man is an aggressive, instinctively violent, naked ape has achieved some currency.
CBS News correspondent Mike Wallace, whose interviewing techniques have won him a lion's share of broadcast journalism's most coveted awards. Mike's talked with everyone, from Mideast monarchs like the Shah of Iran to eminent military historians like Samuel Eliot Morrison, presidential aides like John Ehrlichman to bogus biographers like Clifford Irving. The list would take you all the way around the world. Born in Brookline, Massachusetts, and an alumnus of the University of Michigan, Mike began his career with a Chicago newspaper. After serving as a naval officer in the Second World War, he got his broadcasting start at a Chicago radio station. Since then, Mike has become known for his many exclusive and penetrating interviews in politics, the arts, with literary figures, and the like. Listen for him on Mike Wallace at Large, every Monday through Friday, on the CBS Radio Network.
It was a special and solemn occasion in Atlanta Sunday, a retirement sermon by one of the city's most famous preachers. Tony Sargent tells us about it.
44 years ago, Reverend Martin Luther King Sr. became pastor of Ebenezer Baptist Church. 13 months ago, he saw his wife shot to death as she played the church organ. In 1968, the elder King saw the body of his son, who had become the symbol of the civil rights movement, brought home for burial beside the church. In his retirement sermon, the 75-year-old pastor recalled some precepts of his son's life.
I think I've lived to see my son, one of them at least, give his life for his people. I think I heard him saying, it's more blessed to give than to receive. I think I heard him say also, if giving my life means that it's going to be better for thy four children and my people, I'm willing to give my life.
Martin Luther King Sr. says he'll continue to preach occasional sermons. Tony Sargent, CBS News, Atlanta.
I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. This time, a mystery. A puzzle, if you will, which I challenge you to solve. As with all mysteries worthy of the name, each clue will be honestly and plainly presented to you. And yet, unless I miss my guess, the answer to the puzzle will elude you till the very end. We'll play a game of wits, you and I, just for the fun of it, and see who wins. Unhappily, one of the characters you'll meet, lost.
I found the shrunken head on the pillow of my bed. And that clock points to 12. That means I die at 12.
Question is, Elizabeth, dear, 12 what?
12 what?
12 noon or 12 midnight.
The drum clock. 12 o'clock. Noon.
Maybe you'll be dead on the stroke of 12, Elizabeth. And maybe you have to wait till midnight.
Our mystery drama, Sting of Death, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by George Lowther and stars William Prince. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and by the Florida Orange Growers. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
The following fable is presented to make you want to buy a Buick.
From Mom, I got my practical side.
Christmas, oh, just get me a nice mop, son.
From Dad, I got my fun-loving side.
Go fly a kite, kid.
So, being practical and fun-loving, naturally, I got a Buick Skylark. Being the only V6-powered American compact, it's very practical. And being a Buick, it's a lot of fun to drive. As Mom says...
A wise decision, son.
Or, as my father would say...
Nice car, kid. Let's go shoot some pool.
Buick, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
Oh,
In God We Trust, America Speaks. George Washington remarked during the Constitutional Convention, "Let us raise a standard to which the wise and honest can repair. The event is in the hands of God." Presented by the Catholic Communications Foundation.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. You know, the worldwide trend today is toward a universal system of measurement, the metric system. The names of this new system may sound strange to you at first, but fortunately, there are only a few words that have to be learned for everyday use, and these are the millimeter, centimeter, meter, and kilometer for describing length and distance, the milliliter and liter for capacity or volume, the gram, kilogram, and ton for weight, the kilometer per hour for highway speed, and the degree Celsius or centigrade for temperature. You're already using some of these terms more than you may realize. For example, when you go to the supermarket, you see weights expressed in grams on more and more packaged items. Now, for more information on this whole metric system, write to Metric Information Office, National Bureau of Standards, Washington, D.C.
My first move is to describe the huge barn-like living room of the country home of Trevor Costain, explorer, adventurer, author. And the living room reflects the trophies of his travels. On the north wall, headdresses of native tribal chiefs from all over the world. The south wall is covered with awards, trophies. The west wall is hung with native spears, shields, primitive weapons. And on the east wall, above the huge fireplace, hangs a clock, a most bizarre clock. The face is made of a Tuggeri war shield. Headhunters, you know, the Tuggeri. The hands of the clock are made of, human thigh bones. And the hours, from 1 to 12, are marked by shrunken human heads. Well, don't look so horrified. I told you the Tuggeri were headhunters. And when I told you that, I gave you your first important clue. See what you can do with it.
Liz, give me another drink.
Trevor, the doctor...
I know, but if I'm going to die, I'm going to die happy.
Dad, the disease. You know what alcohol does to you because of it?
I'm in enough pain, Furry. Stop calling me Dad.
He is your son-in-law, Father.
Don't remind me, Jackie. Liz, that drink, please. Some son-in-law, some husband, an alcoholic who's put you through purgatory since the day you married him.
That's ended now. I haven't had a drink since I joined AA 5 weeks ago.
I wish I could believe that.
You can.
Oh, Fari, here's your drink, Trevor.
Thanks.
Oh, Father, you're not going to smoke, too.
Did I say I was going to smoke?
Well, every time you pick up one of your pipes...
Oh, don't worry, Jackie. Whatever disease hit me in Borneo years ago... Just a whiff of tobacco sickens me. Give my right arm to be able to smoke these pipes again, but all I can do is polish them, clean them, puff on them, never light them. It's a terrible way to live. I'll be glad when I'm dead.
Oh, don't say that, Trevor.
You sound as if you'll be sorry when I'm gone, Liz.
I will be.
Why lie to me, Liz? Our marriage has been anything but a happy one. We put each other through the ringer the way our long-haired son-in-law put Jackie through one. Different kind of ringer, that's all.
Oh, that's over now.
Everything's over. For me.
Oh, Father, please don't get up. If you want anything,
just... Got to get up and ease the pain. Just want to get those pipe cleaners on the mantle and... Oh, blast.
You dropped your drink. All over me, I'm afraid.
Sorry. Spasm of pain.
I'll make you another.
I'll have to change these pants.
Father, sit down. I'll get the pipe cleaners.
Oh, I can't do a thing for myself anymore. Not a thing.
Jackie, what about the divorce?
Well, I've given Forry... Here, the pipe cleaners. I've given Forry another chance.
Waste of time. You know that?
It's probably hopeless, but... In common decency, I can't let him down. He depends on me, Father.
A weakling. He's a weakling.
Well, some men are.
Not Rod's champion. He was a man for you. I told you that.
Your drink.
Thanks. Rod will be here tomorrow, Jackie. Going to spend a few days helping me straighten out my affairs. Why don't you and he try to get together? See if you can still hit it off?
Father...
He's the... What the devil?
What?
The clock. That headhunter clock over the fireplace. Look at it.
That's strange. One of those awful shrunken heads is missing.
The one that marked the hour of 7. Oh, Father, what happened to it?
I don't know. I just noticed it was missing this minute. Look around. See if it's on the floor.
Oh, if it is, I'd just as soon...
Look around, I said. I can't.
All right, dear. All right.
Jackie, you look and see if...
But that was Forry. Something's happened.
Good heavens, what could...
I don't know. I...
Look at this. Look at this. Look. The head off the clock.
Oh.
What are you doing with
it? It was on the pillow of my bed.
Your pillow?
It was just lying there, smack in the middle of the pillow.
Forry, this some kind of gag? Did you take it off the clock?
Well, why would I do a thing like that?
I don't know. But then I don't know why you've done a lot of things you've done.
Dad, I tell you, I...
All right, all right. I'll put it back on the clock. The hour of 7.
Yeah, sure. Somebody's playing games. Somebody with a sick sense of humor. And I... Oh. Oh!
Forry, what? Father! Catch him, he's... Forry!
Get away, Jackie. Let me see.
Is he...
Dead? Yes.
Drum clock in the hall. It's 7 o'clock.
The shrunken head. The hour of 7. Forry found it in his room, on his pillow. And now he's dead. What does it mean? What?
Yes? Well, this is Trevor Castain. I see. Yes. Well, I want to be informed the minute you find out. Fine. Goodbye.
Who was that?
The coroner's office. I've been bugging them all through the night to tell me what killed that husband of yours.
And?
Just wanted to let me know. They're starting the autopsy now.
Oh.
Jackie?
Yes, Father?
We've never pulled any punches with each other, you and me, so... Don't let's pull any now. You really sorry for he's dead?
What a thing to ask.
What's the answer?
I don't know. Marriage to Forry was purgatory, as you said last night, but he was starting a new life, joining AA, and... Oh, it isn't fair somehow.
Not to him, maybe. But it's very fair to you.
What do you mean?
You can do what you should have done in the first place. You can marry Roger.
Oh, Father, you're taking an awful lot for granted.
You love him, don't you?
Yes, I guess I do, but...
No buts about it. When Roger gets here... Hey, sounds like he's here. Come on, let's meet him at the door.
Are you strong enough to walk?
Sure, having a good day. Come on. Can't wait to see him. Best safari manager I ever had. Never took any guff from me either. Didn't have to. He's a fine man, Jackie. Fine man.
Hey, Trevor. It's Jackie. Good to see you.
Rod, you old son of a gun. I can't tell you how good it is to... Who's this?
Trevor. Jackie. Meet Virginia, my wife.
Ha,
You've no idea.
No idea at all what killed Florey?
Well, they're doing the autopsy now, Rog. Coroner, Dr. Dodd is a friend of mine. You'll let me know what they come up with as soon as they know. Help yourself to a drink, Rog.
Oh, thanks. You?
No, almost lunchtime. I have to limit myself. Can't even smoke. And with 3 months or less to live. Hell of a way to go out. Oh, hand me those pipe cleaners, will you?
Yeah. Here you are. At least you get some satisfaction from fooling around with these old pipes of yours.
Yes. Kind of makes not smoking a little easier. You know, Raj, you shocked me when you arrived with a wife.
How come?
I had plans for you and Jackie.
I was in love with Jackie, yes, but when she married Forey, well, that was that. Ginny's a wonderful girl, and she'll be a wonderful wife.
Oh, I'm sure. Speaking of Jackie and Virginia, they ought to be back from their walk soon. It's almost... Now, what in blazes?
What is it?
The clock. Look at the clock.
A head's missing. From 12.
Now, what does this mean?
Well, probably nothing at all. Probably just fell off.
It didn't just fall off. And don't bother looking for it on the floor. Someone took that head off the clock, Rog. And unless I miss my guess, it means someone else is going to die.
Oh, I can't believe that there's any significance.
Oh, Father. Roger, is something wrong?
Jackie, your mother's still asleep in her room, worn out after last night. Better get her down here.
Why? What's happened?
A head is missing from the clock again, this time from the hour of 12.
Oh, no.
If it means another death... Well, never mind. Wake your mother up and tell her to come down here. We're...
Liz, stay here. All of you. I'll handle this.
Father, when did you discover this head missing?
Just now. Seconds before you and Virginia came back from your walk.
But, Father, you don't think it means... It can't mean another...
I'm afraid it could.
Easy, Elizabeth. Oh. Trev, she woke up a minute ago to find this beside her on the pillow.
The shrunken head. Oh, Mother. Oh, am I going to die? Is that what it means? That I'm going to die the way Forey did? Oh, of course not. 12 o'clock. My head is missing from 12 o'clock. I'm going to die at 12. I know I'm going to die at 12.
Question is, 12 noon or 12 midnight?
Oh, I didn't think of that.
Well, you'd better.
Oh, how can you be so callous? That head. That shrunken head. You put it on my pillow.
What?
It would be just like you to do something crazy like this. Because you're sick, Trevor.
Mother,
sick.
Mother,
he is sick. I don't know how he killed Forey. Before our eyes, yours and mine, killed him. But he did. And he's going to do it again. This time to me.
Take it easy, Elizabeth.
When? When is he going to do it? That's the only question now. The only question that interests me. When, Trevor? 12 noon? 12 midnight? I don't mind dying, but I can't bear not knowing when. Tell me, Trevor. Tell me.
A dramatic scene. And an intriguing one, don't you think? If I were you, I wouldn't at this moment be asking, was Forey murdered? And will Elizabeth meet the same fate? But if Forey was, and she does, how? I'll return in a minute for Act 2.
Come on, America, refresh the natural way. Have a glass of summer juice any time of day.
Hi, Anita Bryant for Summer Juice. 100% pure orange juice from Florida. Pour some over ice for a delicious warm weather treat the whole family will love. Naturally pure, naturally refreshing.
Orange juice, America's summer juice.
From the Florida orange growers.
Oh, great spirit, whose voice in the winds I hear, make me walk in beauty. Make my heart respect all you have made.
In some Americans today, the spirit of that Indian prayer is reborn. But now everyone must get involved in the struggle against pollution and litter. Write Keep America Beautiful, 99 Park Avenue, New York, New York. People start pollution. People can stop it.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
It was the first time I can remember really going fishing with my dad. I'm sure I'd been with him before, but the first time I really remember it was wading downstream with him in an extra big pair of wading boots as he felt his way very surely along the stream bed, and I shakily held onto the willows, and we found a spot where my dad lifted his finger to his lips and said, "Shh, we don't want to scare the fish away." And then I remember that fish. The biggest fish I'd ever seen in my life. And it was on the end of my line. And my dad, boy, was he proud. I'll never forget that as long as I live.
Give your children everything. Give them your time. A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons.
At this moment, you have all the clues you need. In fact, all the clues you're going to get, because that's all there are to answer the riddle of how Foray Prescott died. And, oh, let's face it, it is murder. And who killed him? If it comes to that, who will murder Elizabeth and how? For surely she too is going to die.
9. 10. 11. 12.
Oh, catch her. She's falling.
I've got her. Elizabeth?
I'm all right.
Oh, Mother, thank heaven you're alive.
So you see, my dear Elizabeth, I didn't murder you after all.
Oh. Only because you mean to prolong the agony, Trevor. Now I must wait till midnight.
Why?
What do you mean, why?
You can simply leave. Get out of here now.
Yes, Mother, you can do that. I'll drive you to town. You could stay at the motel. Or if you want, I'll take you to New York. You could...
No.
But, Elizabeth, if you're afraid of being murdered at midnight...
Then let it be at midnight. Get it over with.
It's crazy. You know, all this talk about murder. You, all of you. You're assuming Foray was murdered when you don't even know what he died of. For all you know, he could simply have dropped dead. A heart attack. Cerebral hemorrhage. Why have you assumed, the three of you, you, Jackie, you, Trev, you, Elizabeth, why have you assumed from the start that Foray was murdered?
But if he wasn't, Raj, what's the meaning behind the shrunken head? We discovered the head was missing from the hour of 7 on that awful clock above the fireplace. And then Foray found it on the pillow of his bed, and Foray died at exactly 7 o'clock.
This time a head is missing from 12, and it's on the pillow of my bed, where I found it when I woke up from my nap.
Hello? Oh, hello, Ed. Dr. Dodd, the coroner. I see. Mm-hmm. Well, how long will that take? Will you let me know? Thanks, Ed. Thanks very much.
What did Dr. Dodd say, Father?
Foray was murdered.
No!
The autopsy revealed poison in the body tissues.
What kind of poison?
Well, they don't know yet. Ed's sending a tissue sample to the New York police lab to find out. No doubt about it now, though. Florrie was murdered.
As you will murder me at midnight.
Darling, let's sit down a few minutes before we go back.
Oh, Rog, I just had to get away from that awful atmosphere in that house.
Huh. Look, sweetheart, I'll be more than happy to take you back to New York.
And then come back by yourself? Oh, no.
Oh, I'd be safe enough, I think.
From whom?
What?
I'm not thinking of the murderer, sweetheart. I'm thinking of the danger you'd be in. And I'd be in from a very attractive and decidedly sexy Jacqueline.
I owe it to Trevor to help him all I can with his records, papers, Lord knows what. Help him get them in order before he dies.
Rog, what do you make of all this? Who do you think murdered Trevor's son-in-law?
I don't know. Could be Trevor. He hated Fari, but then it could be Jackie. She hated him, too.
What about Mrs. Costain? Elizabeth?
I know what you mean. That shrunken head on her pillow, she could have put it there.
Yeah.
A red herring, a blind. Something to throw the police off the scent when they get here.
The police will come again, you think?
Well, sure. I'd say all they're waiting for is a toxicology report on whatever poison killed Fari, and that can come any minute, any hour. It's almost five, I guess. We've been gone at least a couple of hours. I guess we'd better think of getting back. Ginny, you're sure now? You don't want me to take you back to New York?
Uh-uh.
You're a brave little girl who deserves a kiss.
I'm a scared little girl. But don't let that stop you.
Don't tell me what to do, Jackie. If I want to change my will, I'll change it. In fact, my attorneys are changing it right now. Well, damn it, don't look at me as if I'd done some terrible thing to you. Or maybe you misunderstood me.
No, I didn't misunderstand. You're cutting Mother off and leaving your fortune to me. Why?
Plain enough. I want to be sure you're financially safe and secure.
Oh, no, Father. There's more behind it than that. You know as well as I do Mother would take good care of me, share what she has with me.
You don't know her like I know her.
Oh, I know her better than you. I've spent my life with her. You've spent yours elsewhere.
I'm an explorer, or I was.
Oh, you could have spent more time with her.
I don't tolerate fools easily.
Well, we've got off the subject. What's your real reason for changing the will? All right. Let me tell you. You're still hoping I'll marry Roger Campion. You're hoping that if I'm an heiress, the money will help induce him to divorce Virginia and marry me.
You said it. Not me.
Well, you think it. You must. I can't think of any other reason for changing your will. Oh, Father, Roger and I are through with each other.
If only you hadn't married Fari. Damn.
Well, if you'd put a brake on your temper, you wouldn't break so many of those pipe stems.
One of my best pipes, too. Well, I have to send it for repair. I wish I could repair the mess you've made of your life as easily.
All right, I made a mess of my life, but that's over now. Barry's dead, and that's over.
And I mean to keep you from making another. Now, you listen to me. Roger's the man for you. He always has been. And why you didn't marry him years ago...
Oh, you know why? I wanted a husband I could live with, be with. Not a wanderer like you. I saw what happened to Mother because of you. The emptiness, loneliness, and I made up my mind it would never happen to me. Fari was no bargain, as it turned out, but he stayed at home.
So does Roger now. He runs his safaris from an office in New York.
That disease you picked up in Borneo. It's just making you see things in a warped way, a distorted way. You're not yourself.
You think it's crazy of me to change my will? It's crazy of me to hope that you'll persuade Roger to get a divorce and marry you. That what I want so much, the two people I love most in this world, should make it together. If I haven't got a prayer, it'll happen.
Well, it won't. I'm sorry, but it won't.
It will. I want...
You can't always have what you want.
You're wrong. I always have, and always will. Till the day I die. Midnight. It's nearly midnight. Jackie, where's your mother?
I told you. She's locked herself in her room.
And I told you I want her here in this living room at midnight. Go get her.
She won't unlock the door. She feels safer locked in her room.
If you won't go and get her, I will. Weak as I am, I'll go up there and break the door down. I want her here.
Give it another try, Jackie.
All right.
And tell her I'll come up and break the door down. And you go get that piece of fluff you married. I want her here, too.
That little piece of fluff I married is probably fast asleep. And Trev, I'm not waking her.
You will do as I
say. She's had a rough time since we got here this morning. If I'd known what we were heading into, I wouldn't have come, let alone bring Ginny. She went to bed after dinner, and that's where she's going to stay.
All right. You know, that's the one thing I always liked about you, Raj. You never failed to stand up to me.
You take a lot of standing up, too.
Not anymore. Hand me that rack of pipes, will you? The one with the church wardens.
Church wardens? Oh, the ones with the long stem.
Yes.
They're beautiful, Trev. They really are. Any practical reason for the extra long stems?
Well, sure, they cool and filter the smoke. Longer the stem, the better... Oh, you finally decided to join us.
You decided, Trevor. Why are you so determined to have me here in this room at midnight?
Elizabeth, why were you so determined to stay in yours?
To put it plainly, so you couldn't kill me.
You've eaten no dinner? You've had nothing to drink all
day? Cut down the chances of your poisoning me the way you poisoned Fari. I locked myself in my room to cut the chances down even further. But, well, here I am. You wanted me here, in this room, so you could murder me. And I'm sure that when the drum clock strikes at midnight, you will. Oh, I don't know, but you will.
It's never occurred to you, I suppose, that I want you here so I can protect you.
Protect me?
Is that so hard to believe?
Oh, very hard. In fact, impossible. Well, less than a minute now to midnight. Roger.
Yes, Elizabeth?
Goodbye. I want you to know that, like Trevor, I too have always been very fond of you. Respected you. Hoped you and Jackie would marry. But I also want you to know that you couldn't have done better when you married Virginia. She's a fine girl, Roger. Just the kind of wife you need. Goodbye, Roger.
Elizabeth, you're sounding as if you were going to your execution.
In a way, that's what it'll be.
Nonsense. You're not going to die. You're standing here in this room, as healthy a woman as I've ever seen. You, we've let Fari's death overshadow everything, warp our thinking, make us expect death. But look around you, Elizabeth. Where could you possibly find a more home-like scene? A scene that ought to reflect contentment rather than anything else.
Contentment?
I mean, look around. The fire blazing in the fireplace. Trev polishing his pipe. The friendly warmth of an old house where...
Midnight. Jackie.
Mother.
Let me hold you.
Mother, you're not going to die. You can't.
I am, I know it.
Elizabeth, this is nonsense. It's ridiculous.
Trevor, I'm waiting.
What do you mean, waiting?
For you to kill me.
Murder me.
If I murder you, Elizabeth, it'll be the neatest trick of the week.
I couldn't agree with you more. Oh, Mother.
I tried to catch her, but... No, no. Jackie, stand back. Let me... She's dead.
But how? How? One moment she was alive, and the next... dead. Roger, what killed her? What killed Fowry? What?
What? How? Do you know? Have you figured it all out? As I told you, you have all the clues I have, and I've figured it out. Well, I think I have. I'll be back shortly for Act Three.
The following fable is presented to make you want to buy a Buick.
As a kid, everything I had was somebody else's.
My, he certainly has his mother's eyes.
And his father's hair. Boy, what a hairy little person. Well, I finally got something to call my own. A beautiful Buick LeSabre. With my kind of room, my kind of ride, and my kind of style. Heck, I even let my dad borrow it now and then. Because I love to hear people say, my, he certainly has his son's Buick.
Buick. Dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
Billions of dollars are spent each year to keep people on welfare. A lot of them want jobs, but don't have the skills to get them.
I want my child to have a future.
If you've got jobs to give, you can give disadvantaged kids the training they need to get off the welfare roll and onto a payroll. The way to get this country working is to get people working. So if you have a job to give, call the National Alliance of Businessmen. Help America work.
A public service message of the Advertising Council.
Welcome to Gurney's Department Store.
What?
Please announce your floor. This elevator is activated by your voice.
I want the maternity shop.
A 12th floor. Watch the door. Are you pregnant?
Yes. Are you sure you're a recording?
I am a recording. Have you seen a doctor?
Yes, at the beginning of my pregnancy, and I'll see him often during it.
Do you plan to follow his advice?
Of course. I'm not going to take any medicine unless he prescribes it. I'll get plenty of rest and do some moderate exercise.
And what about your diet?
I'll eat the right foods. Foods that are good for me and good for my baby.
12th floor, maternity.
Thanks. A recording. I'm talking to a recording.
Remember what the March of Dimes says. Be good to your baby before it is born.
Now Elizabeth Costain is dead. Mysteriously struck down. Instantly killed as her son-in-law Forrest Prescott was. Only the day before. Now, the following morning, in the guest room occupied by Roger and Virginia Campion...
No, Virginia, I made up my mind. We're leaving.
Not if you plan to take me to New York and then return here.
I won't be coming back. I never expected anything like this when I agreed to help Trevor straighten out his affairs.
Oh, but Roger, you're such old friends.
I'm not so sure of that, Jenny. To be Trevor Costain's friend, you have to be friends on his terms. Oh, he likes me, sure. He values my friendship up to a point. But that's because I always did the job he wanted done, and I never crossed him.
He must have been a hard man to live with.
He hasn't changed any, even with his death only a few weeks, months away. He's still demanding and getting what he wants. He's still riding roughshod over everyone in his path. I have got a strong suspicion that that's why Fari and Elizabeth were murdered. They got in Trevor's way.
Then you really think that...
I'm almost sure of it. Now, there are only four of us left in this house now. There's you and me and Jackie and Trevor. Now, you and I certainly aren't murderers, and Jackie wouldn't kill a gnat if she could avoid it. No, no. It's got to be Trevor. What I can't figure out is how he killed them.
What's that? Well, I thought all the police had left.
Oh, it's the last car heading out of the driveway now. Come on, Ginny, let's get these bags packed. I want to be heading out of that driveway, too. and just as soon as possible.
Father. Father, will you please stop polishing that damn pipe and listen to me?
What do you want, Jackie?
The police have just left. I wondered if you'd like a cup of coffee.
Give me a drink.
No, you're not supposed to drink.
I know what I'm not supposed to do.
All right. Whatever you say.
And hand me those pipe cleaners.
Here you are. Here's that drink.
Thanks. Good, good. I'll miss this fine old Scotch when I'm gone. One consolation, though. Roger always enjoyed it, too. And it'll all be his when I've kicked the bucket.
You willed it to him? Your supply of Scotch?
No, no, of course not. I meant all of this will be his.
I don't understand. You said you willed everything to me.
Well, I did. Maybe I shouldn't have said this will all be Roger's. I should have said yours and Roger's. Naturally, after you're married.
Married? Father, I told you yesterday I'm not marrying Roger. For one thing, I don't love him anymore, and he doesn't love me. And for another, he's happily married to Virginia.
For as long as she lives.
As long as she lives?
As long as... Oh, come in, Raj. Come in.
Trev, Jackie.
Did you and Jenny get any sleep?
Not much. Dozed an hour or so.
How about some coffee?
It's a good idea.
And what would you like for breakfast?
Just coffee. You'll be okay.
And what about Jenny?
Coffee will be enough for her, too. We want to get an early start back to New York.
Back to New York? We haven't even started on my paper, my record.
I know, Trev, but...
But what?
Trev, if I'd known what I was walking into when I came here, and known what I was walking Ginny into, I'd never have come.
Oh, yes, you would. You never disobeyed me. Stood up to me, yes. But when the chips were down, you did what you were told.
I was your second in command then, and that was years ago.
Oh, not so many. Two, three.
But busy, busy years, Trev. I've got my own business now, my own life to live, and to be plain, I don't take orders from anybody anymore.
Why, you ungrateful...
Now, just a minute, Trev. I was more than willing to come here and spend as much time as it took to straighten out your affairs. I felt I owed you that.
The least you owed me, the least...
Maybe. But what I don't owe you is putting my life, or Ginny's, on the line for you.
You mean Fari's death? Mother's?
Yeah, and who's next? I've got a feeling that no one is safe in this house.
A feeling? Or a suspicion?
Same thing, Trev.
Not exactly. Feeling there may be another death is one thing. Suspecting who might be behind the deaths is another. You suspect me, don't you?
Yes, Trev, I do.
Well, I guess the time has come to tell you that your suspicion is correct. 100% correct.
You did kill.
Oh, you suspected me too,
but
did you?
But it's impossible. You hardly have strength enough left to stand on your feet, to walk a few steps.
Wrong. Oh, I'm weak, all right, but not as weak as I pretended. See?
Then you were able to take the shrunken heads from that clock.
And put one on Forey's pillow? And the other on Elizabeth's?
But even so, I still don't see how you killed them exactly on the hour. Foray at 7, Mother at midnight.
How did you manage that, Trev?
My little secret.
Some sort of slow-acting poison? A poison that you were able to time to the minute?
No, but, oh, a small matter. All that matters to me now is that you and Roger marry.
You're out of your head.
Father, Father. You're sick. Right now, you're overly tired. You're exhausted. You're a little mixed up.
Crazy. When you... Say it. You said it yesterday. Say it again. Crazy. But sane or crazy, the two of you will do as I wish. Obey my final order.
No way, Trevor. I love Virginia. I'm married to Virginia. I'll stay married to Virginia.
You can't very well stay married to a corpse, Raj.
Now, what do you mean by that?
Why, no more than what is stated in the marriage vows. Till death do us part. And death is going to do just that in a few short minutes. When I kill Virginia, as I kill Florey and Elizabeth.
Trev, you've gone crazy. Ginny and I are getting out of here and fast.
Don't move.
What?
I said don't move. Try, and I'll kill you where you stand. And be warned, Raj, I can do it. Jackie?
Yes?
Get Virginia. Bring her here.
Father, I...
Do as I order you.
But I...
Do you want him to die now, before your eyes?
Jackie, no.
I'd better do what he wants, or he will kill you, Raj.
Get her in here, Jackie.
No need. I'm here.
Ginny.
I heard every word he said. He will kill you, Raj. Unless you let him kill me.
Let me kill you? He can't prevent me.
What I mean is, it's my death you want. Not his. I don't know how you do it, but go ahead and do it. Kill me.
Ginny, you're out of your mind.
I love you, Raj. Too much to see you die.
Answer that, Jackie.
Hello? Yes, Dr. Dodd. It's for you, Father.
You talk to him. I can't at the moment.
Oh, Father can't come to the phone, Dr. Dodd. Could you give me... Oh, I see. Yes. Yes, I'll tell him.
Well?
The poison that killed Florey. And Mother, too. I guess. The New York police identified it. Curare.
Curare? So, that's how you did it.
What is curare?
It's a poison used by New Guinea headhunters to kill their victims. Kill them instantly.
How?
With darts, thorns, dipped in the stuff, shot through blowguns.
Yes, but how could Father... Oh, good Lord. Oh, Lord. The pipes. The pipes. You've sat there polishing and cleaning. Blowing through the stems to clear them, you said. But blowing a poison dart through them when you wanted to...
The stem of a pipe makes an excellent blowgun. Especially the very long stem of a church warden like this one. And the thorn inside this stem, a thorn dipped in curare, kills instantly. Virginia?
Yes?
Doesn't hurt, Virginia. All you'll feel is a little sting. When the thorn pricks the skin. Second later, you'll be dead.
Roger?
I warned you.
Drop it, Trev. Drop that pipe stem, or blowgun, or whatever you call it. I don't see anything funny.
You, standing there, holding that Maasai war spear over your head, ready to throw it. You look a little silly, Raj. You're not exactly the Maasai warrior type.
I know how to throw one of these things, and you know I do. You've seen me do it.
In Africa, yes. Those Maasai spears fascinated you. Well, you practiced every day. Got quite good, too. But not good enough to put that spear through me before I blow this dart into your wife.
Not you. I'm not going to throw it into you. I'm going to throw it into her.
Me?
Kill Jackie?
You leave me no choice, Trev. You love your daughter. You love her more than anything, anyone, on this earth. Kill Jenny, and I'll kill her.
You haven't the guts.
Yeah, try me. Jackie, take that pipe stem away from him.
Give it to me, Father.
Take it.
Oh.
I know when I'm licked. What are you doing?
Calling the police. All things considered, Trev, the quicker you're taken into custody, the better.
If you want to move really fast, call the morgue.
The morgue?
I gave Jackie the pipe stem, but I kept the thorn.
Father, no!
Police headquarters. This is Roger Campion. I'm calling from the home of Trevor Custane. You better send someone out here. What? No, it's not another murder. Suicide.
You'll admit I did play fair with you. From the very beginning of this mystery, you had all the clues, all of them, including the shrunken heads, the New Guinea headhunters, who you might have known used curare, and a clue that gave everything away, Trevor Costain's absorbing interest in his pipes. When E.G. Marshall plays fair, he plays fair. I'll be back shortly.
Here at Red Cross National Headquarters in Washington, D.C., there is a special little place to visit, a small museum reflecting a great many years of service to the American people, a hall of mercy. Down this corridor, history comes to life, a history of people helping people. There are photographs, documents, and memorabilia of Red Cross assistance during times of peace, of national crisis, and times of natural disaster, from the Civil War years to the 1970s. Great Americans are remembered here. Dedicated Red Cross volunteers who developed the vast blood program, community health and safety programs, in addition to youth service activities, and the list goes on. Yes, this is a special museum, a small tribute to those who are ever extending a helping hand just like a good neighbor. And that's what the Red Cross is all about.
You enjoyed our mystery. I certainly enjoyed playing a little game with you, because that's what all mysteries are, you know, a game of wits. Oh, sure, I have the advantage. I know the answer before I start. But in fairness to you, whenever I bring you a mystery, I'll make sure you have all the clues from the start. After that, it's up to you entirely. Our cast included William Prince, Tony Roberts, Marion Seldes, and Martha Greenhouse. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
I'm asking you, Lieutenant Pirelli, can we permit this young man to die?
I don't think I understand.
I've already told you what happens to the men who are engaged to this woman. Just before the wedding, they die. Suddenly, violently.
We've been through this before, Dr.
Can you take the chance?
All right, what do you propose we do?
I propose that the police alert this young man. See if reason cannot prevail on him to break this engagement.
I don't have the authority to assign a police guard to a private citizen. Now, Dr. Lindstrom, I'm trying to be sympathetic to your problem.
It's not my problem. It's your problem, Lieutenant. What will your position be if this young man also dies before the wedding?
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by the Florida Orange Growers and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
for bright and beautiful music. This is KIXI, Seattle.
CBS News. The Apollo astronauts are reported greatly recovered from the lung inflammation brought on by breathing noxious gas during reentry last Thursday, but doctors want to watch them another 12 days. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. With the latest on the astronauts, still at Tripler Army Hospital in Honolulu, here is CBS News reporter David Dow.
Doctors at the Tripler Army Medical Center say that damage to the lungs of astronauts Stafford, Brand, and Slayton has temporarily at least reduced their ability to fight infection. And that's a big reason why they've prescribed a 10-day period of semi-isolated convalescence in Hawaii after they're released from the hospital, which will likely be Tuesday. Dr. Peter Bartoloni, chief of medicine at Tripler, said the lung cells, which normally fight off infection, have been injured. Thus, he wants to keep the astronauts away from large groups of people, such as might be encountered during a welcome home ceremony in Houston. Hospital officials announced the astronauts' wives would join them for the convalescence period. When they'll fly here hasn't been decided. Bartoloni said Slayton's lung x-rays continue to show improvement, while those of Stafford and Brand have been stable for the last 2 days. Asked if he was confident of a full recovery by the astronauts, Bartoloni said, "I'm optimistic, let's put it that way." David Dow, CBS News, Honolulu.
China has a new space accomplishment. Its third artificial satellite and possibly first spy in the sky is in orbit. The official New China News Agency Monday reported the successful launch Saturday from a missile base in Inner Mongolia. Instrumentation aboard the spacecraft was not disclosed, nor was its weight given. CBS News continues following this message.
If you ever use a hemorrhoid preparation, you should know this. Vaseline Brands has news. It's Hemorrhoid Ointment. Hemorrhoid works fast, helps protect with a proven medical ingredient for soothing occlusion. And Hemorrhoid gives you only this key ingredient, so it gives you more than the leading preparation. Now at your first sign of pain, burning, and itching, turn to soothing Hemorrhoid. Hemorrhoid from Vaseline Brands. Use only as directed.
Hi, everybody. Phil Rizzuto here with a few words for sport fans everywhere. Nightly, Monday through Friday, I bring you Phil Rizzuto on sports over most of these stations. I wrap up the daily events with an action review that includes interviews with players, coaches, and managers, and always give you a preview of what's to come. I also have comments on all phases of the sports world that I know will interest you. Hope you'll listen right here Monday through Friday nights for Phil Rizzuto on sports on most of these CBS Radio Network stations.
President Ford is resting in Bonn, West Germany, following a full day of activities, starting with an official reception and conference with Chancellor Helmut Schmidt at the Palais Schaumburg. Mr. Ford went in rapid succession through a working lunch, a news conference, a Frankfurter sauerkraut and beer picnic with American troops stationed in Bonn, and finally a state dinner with President Walter Scheel aboard a boat cruising down the Rhine River. Mr. Ford's Monday schedule takes him to Warsaw, Poland. White House sources indicate that the head of the CIA may be changed in a move to restore the morale of the spy agency following revelations of alleged widespread illegal activities. Highly placed advisors, including political ones, have suggested that President Ford may want to replace CIA Director William Colby. U.S. Ambassador to Great Britain Elliot Richardson is considered a prime candidate. Richardson, a veteran government official, earned a national reputation when he resigned as Attorney General rather than follow ex-President Nixon's order to fire Watergate Special Prosecutor Archibald Cox. The executive director of the National Urban League, Vernon Jordan, urges that the nation's welfare system be supplanted by a universal refundable credit income tax to guarantee every American a livable income. Jordan addressed some 6,000 people in government, business, education, and labor.
The essential point is that the universal refundable tax credit offers a way to rationalize an irrational tax system that favors the rich at the expense of working people and a means of reducing the numbers of the poor.
President Vernon Jordan of the Urban League in Atlanta at the opening of the league's 65th annual conference. More news in a moment.
All right, you chipmunks. We're going to thank all those people for preventing forest fires. You chipmunks should know better than anybody how important that is, so let's hear it. Theodore?
Okay.
Simon?
Okay.
Alvin?
Alvin!
Okay! Thank you, friend.
Public Service on behalf of the Forest Service, State Foresters, and the Ad Council.
White House staffers winced repeatedly, but President Ford seemed not to be embarrassed as he consistently mispronounced or anglicized the name of his host in Bonn, West German Chancellor Helmut Schmidt, the Fordian pronunciation, Smith. And during a midday news conference, Mr. Ford recast the name of West German President Walter Scheel. Obviously misled by the spelling, S-E-H-E-E-L, Mr. Ford pronounced that one Scheels. West German diplomats courteously seemed not to notice. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
KIXI News Update. King County police say the unincorporated areas of the county have experienced a drop in serious crime, the rate dropping more than 4% during the first 3 months of this year. Seattle police, meanwhile, say major crimes in this city increased 8% during the same period.